spreads. Thank you. And thank you for coming back. I know it was a full day yesterday. It's been a full morning this morning. I think always the challenge is when you come into a context like this, you kind of feel like you've got one go at it. And I'm sure it won't only be one go, but you want to try and give as much as you can. So I hope I haven't overwhelmed or thrown too much out. But be that as it may. All right, so this session, we're going to continue with the whole kind of leadership theme and all that goes with it. But I want to talk about what it means to be all in as followers of Christ. And to be all in, from the Free Dictionary, means to be fully committed to a task or endeavor. To give or be prepared to give all of one's energy or resources towards something. Now, surely that should describe our Christianity, eh? Being able to give our all to that which Jesus gave his all for. And it's certainly how Jesus talks about following him. That's something of the language he uses when he calls us to follow him. And in Matthew 16:24, he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, or whoever would come after me, must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Notice there are no ifs or buts there. We're either all in, or we're not in at all. That's the language Jesus uses. And so there's no such thing as being semi-in when it comes to our relationship with Christ and his call upon our lives. In fact, Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, he says, "I wish you were either hot or cold." In other words, I wish you were all in or all out. But because you're lukewarm, because you're semi-in, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. And so put another way, he's saying there's no place for mediocrity or half-heartedness when it comes to me and my kingdom. Only an all-in. An all-in in heart, in attitude, and in purpose. When it comes to me and when it comes to my call upon your life. Jesus says in Matthew 12:30, "Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters." In other words, if you're not all for me, all in with me, then you're actually working against me, working against my purposes. And that's some strong language that Jesus uses there. And that's why I think Jesus speaks of our Christianity as an all or nothing issue. Eh? You're either all in or you're not in at all. There's no half measures. Which in essence means he's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And so that's some strong words, hey, that Jesus uses. And so what's going to help us then be all in? What's going to help us to remain all in when it comes to not only our relationship with God, but the outworking of that relationship, the outworking of our faith? And so that's the question I want to try and answer in this session. And so Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, and he says, "Train yourself to be godly." And so, in other words, godliness doesn't just happen. Eh? Godliness takes time. There's effort, there's discipline, there's commitment. And Paul describes it like this in 1 Corinthians 9, in verse 24 to 27. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" And then he says, run. He says, run your Christian race in such a way as to get the prize. That's how God wants us to run. Everyone who competes in the games, and he's speaking of athletes, goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Disqualified for that which God has purposed for me. What he's taken hold of me for. And so I want to ask you, is that how you are running your Christian life, your Christian race? The way that Paul describes it here. With that sort of energy and that determination and that passion. Or is it more like a nonchalant stroll through life? Because any athlete who wants to achieve any form of sporting success has to be focused, disciplined, and committed to their craft. And that means they've got to renounce certain things and they got to pledge themselves to other things if they're going to achieve their goal. And I want to say then, why not for the believer? Because that's the same language that Paul uses in our race, comparing it to an athlete. And so what's then some of the things in your life that maybe need to be renounced, maybe removed, so that you can advance in Christ? What might be hindering you in your race, and maybe even potentially disqualifying you from the promises and the inheritance that God has for you? Those are sobering questions. And the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run. Not a casual saunter, but let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our race." And here's the thing, if we're going to run hard for Jesus, well, it is going to require discipline, it's going to require commitment, it's going to require perseverance. It's going to necessitate us becoming spiritually fit. Why? So that we can finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to us. Eh? Acts 20, 24. And so the question I want to pose to us this morning is, well, what does it mean then to be all in? All in our relationship with Christ. All in when it comes to his church. And then what does it mean to be all in when it comes to his commission? What he's called us to do. And so, first one then, being all in with Jesus, I think happens when we love him with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, and all of our strengths. For me, that's what it means to be all in with Jesus. That you love him with everything we have. Which, of course, is the greatest commandment Jesus gave to us. And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you look at that and you think, well, is that even possible? I mean, it's a great thing to think about, but is it real? Can it be done? Well, I think when God gives us a command like this, he knows that in ourselves we don't have the ability to love him as he wants to be loved. And that is with our whole being and with everything we've got. And yes, of course, I think we'd all say we love God. But the truth is, we also love a lot of other things, don't we? And maybe some of those things more than we love God, if we're ruthlessly honest. But here's the key to loving God. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. And so our love originates with God himself. He's the source of that love. He's the one who infuses us with that love, which then allows us to love him in return. And so the more we receive and enjoy God's love, the more we're able to love God back. And so loving God with all of our hearts, we'll start with that thing, speaks to me anyway, of loving him exclusively, where we have no other gods before him. But also, it's loving him intensely. In other words, loving him with everything we've got, at all times and on all occasions. It means that we love him even when we don't understand what he's up to. And we love him even when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. That we love him when our prayers don't seem to be answered in the way that we had hoped God answers them. Or we still love him when he says no to our requests. Or when he's silent. And we keep loving him even when bad things happen to us. That's loving him with all of our hearts. Loving God with all of our souls, for me, is about loving him sincerely. It's where our inmost being reaches out to him in love, where deep calls to deep. And so it's the depth of our love and our emotion being poured out to God, where we're able to pick up God's heart for things, God's heart for people, and where his heart becomes our heart, and his will becomes our will. It's where our love for God surpasses all other loves, including the love for ourselves, families, and the things of this world. Loving him with our mind speaks of considering him in every way and in everything we do. It's setting our minds on things above, on things that he values and what he deems as important. Mm-hmm. And so as we get to know him, and we get to know him by spending time in his word, the more our minds are renewed and the more we are able to love and consider Him in everything we do, which of course results in greater obedience to Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. You will obey my commands. And that's why obedience is a decision that we make with our minds. And so if we're going to love God with all of our minds, then we've got to love Him in and through our obedience to Him. And then loving God with all of our strength means loving Him extravagantly, but also loving Him demonstratively. Where love is a verb, an outward demonstration of our love for Him. Because love is active, eh? Love costs, love is sacrificial, love perseveres despite the challenges and the difficulties of life. And that's why we call to love God with all of our strength, because it's a strength that only the Holy Spirit can provide. And so being all in with Christ, I think, starts with an understanding of what it is to love Him with our everything we have, hearts, souls, minds, and strengths. Strength. To be all in with Christ. That Christ is not an attachment to our lives, but He is our life. We don't add Him onto our lives. He is our life. And we don't hope that He'll join us on this journey. No, we join Him on the journey of life and what He's called to. And so that's what it is to be all in with Christ. Lots more you could say about that, because that is the most important part of our relationship and our and the call that He has in our lives. And it always starts with Him, man. We make it all about Him in every way and in everything. But then secondly, what does it mean to be all in with His church? And I guess I spoke a bit about that this morning when we looked at the priority of the local church. But let me throw a few more things out there. Because it is the second greatest commandment. The first is to love the Lord, as we've said, with all everything we have, body, soul, and spirit. But the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor. And in this case, fellow believer, those within the local church, as you love yourself. Mark 12:31. And not to be like the person who said, I love Jesus, I just can't stand the church. You know, those don't work together. Because to be all in with His church means that we're all in with His people. And which again means that we don't view God's people as acquaintances or fellow parishioners, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, again, that means our relationships can't be casual. It can't be just based on a weekly gathering, but those relationships are covenantal. Which again means we love each other, we care for each other, we build each other up, we share each other's burdens, we lay our lives down for one another. It's all the one another's that you read in Scripture. And Paul puts it like this in Romans 12:10, when he says, be devoted to one another. And that's a strong word, eh? Devoted. There's nothing casual about that. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And that's covenantal relationships being lived out. Galatians 6:10, as you have opportunity, do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And that happens because of our love for one another, eh? Being all in with the church of Jesus Christ. But then there's also being all in with the vision of the church, the values of the church, the ventures, the things that God's called the local church to. And other words, were you all in terms of where God is taking solid ground and what He's called this church to do and to achieve in Him? And again, we see, you know, one of the things that the early church devoted themselves to, and I mentioned that already this morning, Acts 2:42, is they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Not just to fellowship with any other believer, as important and valuable as that is, but a devotion to the fellowship, to the local church. And again, that happens as we take ownership for the church, where there's a genuine buy-in to what it is that God has called the church to. It's where you're willing to roll your sleeves up, put your hand to the plow, your shoulder to the wheel, and you're willing to give your best to what God's called this church to. It's where you're adding value, making a difference, being available, and being prepared to be used in whatever way God wants you to be. And so ownership then means I'm around. Because again, you can't be involved or add value if you're not here. bottom line. And so your presence matters. And it matters not just for your sake, but for the sake of those around you. Because again, if you're not here, or when you're not here, then iron can't sharpen iron. Eh? You cannot be sharpened, nor can you sharpen those around you. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together, as sadly some are in the habit of doing. And there's a clear reason for that, and it's interesting, it's found on either side of that verse in Hebrews 10 verse 25. And it says, and let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And on the other side of the verse it says, and let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ's return approaching. And so let me say it again, you cannot spur others on, you cannot encourage others if you're not here. Or if you don't see the church and the gathering of God's people as a high priority. Secondly, ownership means that I'm committed and I'm invested here. So when the going gets tough, you don't gap it, but you get on your knees. You dig deep because you know this is where God has placed you. This is where He's added you. And I've already said the difference between God adding you to a church and you joining the church. There's a big difference. And so when there's a sacrificial call that's given, or when there's a challenge, or when things become inconvenient, often it's the joiners who bail because they don't want to pay a price. But when you know God's added you, you push through. You become part of the solution. Why? Because you're committed, you're invested, and you're on board with what God's doing. Third thing we see is that ownership means I'm willing to contribute in whatever way and in whatever is needed. And again, there's a huge difference between being a contributor as opposed to being a consumer. And we've got used to being consumers, haven't we, in a consumeristic world. But sadly, we've brought something of that attitude into the church as well. And so the attitude so often can be, well, if this doesn't benefit me, well, then I don't want it. Or if this isn't going to satisfy me, then I'm not interested. Or if it's going to cost me something, then count me out. But you know, that's not the message of the gospel, huh? Which talks about denying self, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. Talks about if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But whoever loses it for my sake, Jesus said, is the one who will find it. And let me tell you, that is not a convenient, nor is it a consumeristic message. Eh? And so God has called us to be contributors, to give and to use what God has given and blessed us with. Be it our time, be it our talents, be it our treasures, all for His glory. It's what Jesus talks about, being rich towards God with everything we have. So that's what it means to be all in with the church. And I know I spoke quite a bit about that on the priority of the local church, so I don't want to repeat all that I've said. But it's one thing, yes, to be in with Jesus, all in with Jesus and our relationship with Him. But equally, we need to be all in when it comes to our relationship with His body, the church. And then the third thing I want to say is being all in with Jesus' commission. Not just with Christ, not just His church, but His commission as well. Which is to love your neighbor, and in this case the unbeliever, in such a way that you're willing to go and share the good news of Jesus with them, wherever they may be. And that's why the church is not just about keeping the saved safe, as kind of keepers of the aquarium. Yeah. But we're called to go and fish for people, eh? Be fishers of men. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 4:19. He said, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And so here's the truth. If we're going to follow Jesus, it's going to require us fishing for Jesus. Because following and fishing go hand in hand. It's just not biblical to say, I follow Jesus, but I'm not prepared to fish for Jesus. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you into something. And that something is a fisher of people, those who will bring others into the kingdom of God. It was C.T. Studd who said, some wish to live within the sound of church and chapel bells. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. And I think, sadly, many Christians are content to stay within the confines of the church sanctuary rather than being on mission outside of the church. It's awesome that the church is here, but the church should be a refueling station, a place where we get equipped and encouraged and filled so we go out to be the church, eh? And to be on mission with what God's called us to. And that's why I think if we neglect this commission, the commission that Jesus gave us, we'll end up stagnating as the church, and long term it will be the demise of the church. This commission is an all-in commission for every believer. And so we have to understand that the church doesn't merely exist for us, but it also exists for those who are still to come into the church. And we can't just sit around there hoping they'll come in. We've got to go to where they are with the intention of reaching some for Christ. That's the mission that we're on, eh? It was Ernest Southcott who said the holiest moment of the church service is the moment when God's people, strengthened by preaching and sacrament, go out of the church door into the world to be the church. And sometimes we act those, this is the holiest moment, and it's an awesome moment when we come together as we've done this morning. But I agree with him. I think the holiest moment is when we go and be the church, and we can go and be his light and salt to those who do not know him. And so it's the mandate of the church. It's to go to all the world with the gospel and not to hide away from the world. And I think as the church so often, we've got into a monastery mindset where it just becomes all about the parish and we neglect that there's a world out there. I think it was John Wesley who said, and if the world is not your parish, then the parish has become your world, which let me tell you is far too small, right? Because there is a much bigger mission and commission that God has given to us. And so that's the biblical call. The biblical call is to be all in with Christ. And I want to say, you know, for every one of us, we're all on a different part of that journey of being all in with Christ. And I want to encourage you to allow God to bring you into a deeper level of being all in with him at every level. Eh? That Christ is not an appendage to our lives. He's not an add-on. He is our life. He's everything we are. And we need to honor him through how we live our lives, making it all about him in every way. But then, of course, it's also about being all in with his church. Not treating the church kind of with a hands-off approach or watching from a distance, but it's saying that actually I want to be all in with that which Jesus is building, that which he gave himself to, that which he's raised up to be his hands and his feet and his voice in this world we find ourselves in. And then of course to be all in with this great commission, the cause of Jesus, to seek and to save those who are lost. All in with it, not leaving it up to the so-called evangelists or those who seemingly or have greater people skills or people, more people, but actually to say, no, you've called me, Lord, to be those who will reach my neighbor, my work colleagues, my friends, my family, whoever it is, with the love of Jesus. That's the mission every one of us need to be on, and we need to be all in it. And not partially. Okay? All right. All right. There we go. Quick, eh?
Sure.
But yeah, those three things. I came in with a sense that, man, if I wanted that for my own life or for my local church that I was leading, I would want a people who are all in with Jesus in every way. All in with his bride, the church, and then all in with the commission that he's called us to. Should we pray? All right. Lord, I think at times we have forgotten what it means to be all in. And often when we come to know you, Lord, there's a sense in our hearts to say, oh, I want to give myself fully and wholly to you and to your call and to your purposes. And then what happens as the days become months and the months become years, we tend to wane. And we tend to lose the essence and the priority of abandoning ourselves to you. and all that you've called us to. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to get back to that place where it's all about you in every way, Lord. That our lives are about you and about your call and about your service. That our lives and the way we live them with those around us understand just something of how beautiful the church is and how you want us to be all in with that which you are building. And then, of course, Lord, to be those who know what it is to be all in with this great commission that you've given us to go and to make disciples of all people, of teaching them everything that you've taught us, shown us, knowing that you're always with us, Lord, even to the end of the age. And so, Father, help us to hold these three things close to our hearts, Lord. All in with you, all in with your church, and all in with your commission. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. That was really powerful, to the point they say, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. I don't think we need to have a tea break now because we're all still full from lunch, but yeah. If anybody wants to pop to the loo quickly or have a stretch, or maybe just take a few minutes, and then we'll hand over to Colin. She can do the second session.